It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
God on the gridiron. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. The U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments today in the case of a high school football coach near Seattle. He lost his job for kneeling and praying at the 50-yard line after games. Correspondent Christopher Cruz.
Joseph Kennedy was told in 2015 by school officials in Bremerton, Washington, that he had to stop his on-field prayers because they violate the Constitution's prohibition against government endorsement of religion. Kennedy's attorney, Paul Clement.
The record is clear that Coach Kennedy was fired for that midfield prayer.
The question the court has to answer is whether the prayers are protected by the First Amendment's guarantee of religious liberty, or whether they violate the First Amendment because they're promoting Kennedy's religion.
Rachel Leisher heads up Americans United for the Separation of Church and State.
When you're acting as an agent of the state, you can't impose your religious views or practices on school children. And this has been clearly established law for decades.
The coach claims he wasn't imposing his religion on anyone, and the students who joined him in prayer did so voluntarily.
I had to choose between my job and my faith. And nobody in America should have to face that kind of decision.
This case has been brewing for 6 years. The Reverend Franklin Graham says people of faith need to be paying attention.
I believe religious liberty is under attack, and we've seen that. Our country was founded as a Christian nation, but we certainly are not that today.
A decision on the praying football coach near Seattle expected in June. 5 train stations were hit today by Russian rockets in Ukraine following a surprise visit there by 2 of President Biden's top cabinet officials. Correspondent Matt Finn.
The U.S. Secretary of State and Defense just used trains to visit this country. Antony Blinken and Lloyd Austin traveled by rail from Poland.
The two met in Kyiv with Ukrainian President Zelensky for more than 3 hours.
We don't know how the rest of this war will unfold, but we do know that a sovereign, independent Ukraine will be around a lot longer than Vladimir Putin.
Secretary Blinken says the U.S. plans to reopen its embassy in Kyiv soon. Nearly 50 Democrats in Congress are pushing to have Title 42 extended, but the Biden White House is standing by its plan to end that Trump-era border policy next month. Texas Congressman Michael McCaul says absent that policy, illegal immigration will worsen.
We've had 2.5 million people cross into this border illegally since the president's been inaugurated. Title 42 being lifted means 500,000 over the next 5 weeks.
In Eagle Pass, Texas, crews are still searching for the body of a National Guard soldier who drowned in the Rio Grande while helping 2 illegals who are struggling in the water. Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
It shows how dangerous it is on the border. It shows heroism by the member of the Texas National Guard who was trying to save lives. The people he was trying to save the lives of, they turned out to be drug traffickers, and they were both arrested.
The border agent who drowned has been identified as 22-year-old Bishop Evans, a field artilleryman from Arlington, Texas. One of the president's staunchest allies predicts Democrats will get their clocks cleaned in the November election. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren says Democrats will be swept out of power if they do not pass the policies they ran on.
We're going to be in real trouble if we don't get up and deliver. Then I believe that Democrats are going to lose.
A new Washington Post report today says the White House is bracing for Republicans to take at least one or both houses of Congress in the November midterms. The Texas Board of Pardons is weighing the case of Melissa Lucio, scheduled to die by lethal injection in just a couple days.
Free Melissa Lucio!
She is set to be put to death for the murder of one of her 14 children back in 2007. Her lawyer claims new evidence proves the 2-year-old girl fell down a staircase place and was not the victim of child abuse.
As a conservative Republican myself, who has long been a supporter of the death penalty in the most heinous cases, I have never seen a more troubling case than the case of Melissa Lucio.
Texas Republican Jeff Leach: crime will be on the minds of voters this fall. The sheriff of L.A. County has something to say about the woke policies that promote crime in some of our larger cities.
Wokeism is on the ropes. Let's put it out of its misery in 22. My only goal is to make L.A. livable again.
Alex Villanueva has been embroiled in a public tug of war with the controversial L.A. D.A. George Gascon, who's been roundly criticized by law enforcement for his soft-on-crime policies. French President Emmanuel Macron held off a far-right challenge to win a second term on Sunday. The vote could have upended Europe, and Macron will have his work cut out for him trying to reunify the government. Conservatives did well in the election and are expected to gain seats in parliamentary elections in June. The world's richest man may be a step closer to acquiring Twitter. Elon Musk could strike a deal this week to take over the social media site. He's offered $43 billion.
Musk is putting together enough to win a hostile takeover. This is the greatest entrepreneur of our lifetime, from SpaceX to Tesla, and now he's found a new playground.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says it has been downhill for Twitter ever since it banned Donald Trump.
When they took President Trump off, they had half their base angry at them.
Musk says he wants to buy Twitter to protect the free speech rights of every user. The Biden administration doing some mask messaging damage control today. This after pandemic point man Anthony Fauci suggested that masking be a CDC issue and not left to the courts to decide. Dr. Michael Osterholm, the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research.
It is a real challenge because this is not going to be the last of the need for public health measures to be taken for any crisis. The U.S. public is done with the pandemic, even though the virus is not done with us.
The U.S. Justice Department has stepped in to legally challenge a Florida judge's decision that does away with masks on public transportation. An amazing survival story from the California wilderness. A 52-year-old woman claims she survived for 6 days on nothing but yogurt and snow after her car battery died. A search crew eventually found her in her car along a remote road in Northern California, where she had gotten lost during a snowstorm. Sheena Gullett says she rationed a 6-pack of yogurt and ate snow for water in order to survive. The world's oldest person has just died at the ripe old age of 119. Kane Tanaka of Japan was born January 2nd, 1903. She held the title of world's oldest person since 2019. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Monday: bad sports causing ref shortages, Senate candidates debate tonight, and the police chief turned congressional candidate. We'll tell you why after this.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley. Temperatures rather warm through this afternoon, in the 70s in most locations, a couple of spots near 80. It'll be colder tomorrow, only in the 50s for the most part, even colder on Wednesday, and some rain and snow shower activity could occur. Full forecast details coming your way in about 10 minutes.
All right, big changes. Thank you, Ken. Checking the stories making news where you live today. A new poll out today shows New York Governor Kathy Hochul has some work to do if she wants to win in November.
The Siena College survey shows 57% of voters disapprove of the job Governor Hochul is doing since taking over for Andrew Cuomo last fall. The poll shows the majority of New Yorkers are not happy with the new Buffalo Bills stadium deal. Most do support actions taken by the governor on bail reform and suspending the gas tax. Crime is the biggest issue on the minds of voters, followed by taxes and the economy. The poll shows the majority of state residents think New York is on the wrong track. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you for that. The five leading Republican candidates for Pennsylvania's open U.S. Senate seat will face off tonight in primetime. Kathy Barnett, Jeff Bartos, Dave McCormick, Mehmet Oz, and Carlos Sands will be debating the issues starting at 8 p.m. The The one-hour event will happen at the studios of ABC 27 in Harrisburg. Primary day in Pennsylvania coming up fast, Tuesday, May 17th. A candidate with a familiar last name brought his campaign for governor of New York to the Southern Tier yesterday.
The last name is Giuliani, but the first isn't Rudy, but his son, Andrew, whose campaign stopped in Endicott's George Johnson Memorial Park over the weekend. Like his father, who accompanied him on the campaign trip, Andrew Giuliani has deep ties to Donald Trump, and his gubernatorial campaign reflects that with the theme, Make New York State Great Again. While in the Southern Tier, Andrew Giuliani called the Triple Cities a valley of opportunity. He said if elected, a day one priority would be repeal of New York's controversial bail reform laws, calling them a complete disaster. A recent poll showed Giuliani well behind the GOP frontrunners. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
Thank you, Mark. Another one of New York's gubernatorial candidates is Rob Astorino, and he says another plane full of illegal immigrants landed in Westchester County over the weekend.
And it's happening just about every night now. It's a real in-your-face by the Biden administration.
The migrants were loaded into charter buses and whisked away in the dead of night.
It starts in El Paso. As soon as they cross the border, they get one of these. Nice iPhone, thanks to Uncle Sam. Why wouldn't they want to come to New York?
Astorino says New York has set up a $2 billion fund to give cash assistance and free health care to those who come to the state illegally. The Satanic Temple is suing an Eastern Pennsylvania elementary school that denied their after-school Satan Club. The Northern York County School Board voted last week against the club for 5 to 14-year-olds. A representative for the Satanic group claims it's being discriminated against. A couple more local counties are voting to suspend their local gas tax. Officials in Niagara and Erie counties in western New York will be meeting this week. The savings will range from 4 to 9 cents per gallon, and that's on top of the 16-cent a gallon break that New York State motorists will be getting starting the 1st of June. Becky Whitish is with the Niagara County Legislature.
If you add in the 16 cents from the state, we'd be looking at about 20 to 25 cents a gallon, which, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot when you say it that way, but if you start to add up how many times you're filling your car, how many gallons it takes over the course of a month, that can be the difference of a few meals for a family that's living paycheck to paycheck and, you know, struggling to make ends meet right now with everything else that's happening with inflation. So, you know, any difference that we can make, if we can save that for our residents, our taxpayers, we're certainly going to do that.
Energy experts say the switch over to summer blend gasoline will keep those record high prices hovering around the $4 a gallon mark for the foreseeable future. The former police chief of Rochester, New York, is running for Congress. Lifelong Democrat LaRon Singletary is seeking the Republican nomination in the 25th Congressional District.
You know, like Ronald Reagan said, you know, I didn't lead the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left LaRon Singletary.
Singletary says Rochester's out-of-control crime is the reason he's running.
I think voters are going to go to the polls this November and vote their values. And I think public safety is definitely one of their values. When people don't feel safe, they will vote differently this November.
Singletary says his motto is refund the police, not defund the police. The murder rate in Rochester right now is outpacing that of Chicago's. A 26-year-old Elmira man arrested over the weekend for threatening people at a charity basketball tournament. Police say Michael Weir was spotted with what looked like a handgun at the Chemung County Family Fitness Center. Turned out to be a fake, but it got a lot of folks scared. Apparently, Weir became agitated with one of the referees over what he thought was a bad call at that charity basketball tournament. Well, the behavior of coaches, parents, and players so bad in youth sports these days that umpires and referees are quitting in record numbers.
50,000 high school referees, nearly 20% of the nationwide total, have quit between 2018 and 2021, and this exodus is leading to canceled games across the country, threatening youth sports just as they've begun returning to normal after two pandemic-stricken years. I'm Mike Bauer.
Hate to see that happen. We like to hear sports, though. Randy Stavely has that and more coming up on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. There was no sweep for the Golden State Warriors yesterday as Denver pulled out a 126-120 win to stay alive in their series. The Warriors still up 3-1 with Game 5 heading back to California. The Milwaukee Bucks are one win away from advancing as they throttled the Bulls in Chicago 119-95. The Bucks up 3-1, as are the Miami Heat. They blew out Atlanta 110-86. But New Orleans didn't go down 3-1 in their series with Phoenix. The Pelicans even things up at 2, beating the Suns 118-103. Joel Embiid did indeed tear a ligament in his thumb on Wednesday, and he's going to need surgery, but that can wait. He's going to keep playing until the 76ers season is over. On the ice, the Isles lost a 5-2 decision to Carolina. The Flyers got a pair of goals from Noah Cates. They downed the Penguins 4-1. Detroit, Columbus, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Winnipeg, Boston, Minnesota, St. Louis, and San Jose also skated to victories. Baseball. Gerrit Cole finally looked like an ace on the hill for the Yankees. He went 6 2/3 innings of shutout ball, and the Bronx Bombers bombed away in completing a sweep of Cleveland 10-2. Rizzo, LeMahieu, and LeCastro all went deep for the Yanks. Other winners in the American League: Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Houston, LA, Oakland, and Seattle. Over in the National League, Tyler McGill now 3-0 on the young season as the Mets were 6-2 winners over Arizona. A day after losing 21-0 against the Cubs, the Pirates bounced back to beat Chicago 4-3. Phillies fell to Milwaukee 1-0. Also picking up wins, LA, Cincinnati, San Francisco, and Miami. The Rockies down Detroit in the interleague game 6-2. And Ross Chastain took the checkered flag at Talladega. That is a look at sports.
All right, Randy, man, thank you very much. At the sports desk, still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, prayer on trial at the U.S. Supreme Court, the job of a lifetime at the bottom of the world, and we've got some big changes weather-wise. Ken McKinley will get into that in 4 minutes.
America's teens are not all right. A major reason is because they've inherited a culture untethered from God. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. As Derek Thomas recently wrote in an article in The Atlantic entitled Why American Teens Are So Sad, from 2009 to 2021, the share of American high school students who say they feel persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness rose from 26% to 44%. This is the highest level of teenage sadness ever recorded. Almost every measure of mental health is getting worse for every teenage demographic, and it's happening all across the country. Now, Thomas suggests four converging cultural realities contributing to this crisis: social media, social isolation, the extra stressful global situation, and today's parenting styles. Over a decade ago, psychologist Gene Twenge warned about the effect of smartphones on teenage brains. Since then, the prevalence of social media has unleashed new levels of comparison, exposure, and image problems for a demographic already wired to care too much about what their peers think. Instagram's own research found that while a third of teenage girls say the app makes them feel worse, they still cannot keep from logging on. And of course, it also matters what's on the screens they're staring at. Even more than TV or print media, these days teens face more than just the stress of preparing for college. Alone in their rooms, they're worrying about the pandemic, the war in Ukraine, climate change, and whether they've been sufficiently woke on various issues. And in response to all this social chaos, more parents are choosing what Thomas calls an accommodative parenting style. As Thomas puts it, if a girl's afraid of dogs, an accommodation would be keeping her away from every friend's house with a dog. Or if a boy won't eat vegetables, feeding him nothing but turkey loaf for 4 years, which, as he points out, is a true story. Now, that strategy, which others have called lawnmower parenting, backfires. If every challenge on the path in front of them is mowed down, a child just fails to develop the kind of resiliency necessary to confront the inevitable obstacles ahead. In the end, a world cannot be prepared for a child. A child needs to be prepared for the world. Now, all of these things that Thomas identifies certainly contribute to the mental health crisis we're now seeing. But there's more to consider. In his book, The Content Trap, Barrett Annan tells the story of the 1988 Yellowstone fire, which was infamously started by a single unextinguished cigarette. But Annan asks a critical question. Why that cigarette? After all, hundreds of cigarettes are dropped in Yellowstone every year. What was different this time? Well, the answer, he argues, is not found by focusing on the spark, but on the environmental factors that turn Yellowstone into a tinderbox.
The extremely dry summer of 1988, which was the driest on record, combined with the park's controlled burn policy meant, as one former park superintendent put it, we were a perfect setup to burn. Social media, parenting strategies, world events, these are all sparks for the mental health crisis we're now seeing. But at the end of the day, it's our prevalent cultural worldview that makes devastating cultural wildfires inevitable. You see, our real cultural crisis is a catastrophic culture-wide loss of meaning. Philosophers warned that it was coming, as did social scientists. And now we're living with the existential results of a culture that untethered itself from God, and therefore untethered itself from any fixed reference point for the things we all need, like truth, morality, identity, and yes, meaning. This is a tinderbox in which any spark, whether social media or addiction or lockdowns or something else, would be destined to explode. But it's also a tinderbox primed for a different kind of spark, the spark of Christ-changed people shaped by redemption, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and armed with truth and love about life, the world, and what it all means. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
20 past the hour, work week weather with Ken McKinley next.
Good afternoon. We're keeping our eyes on a very slowly advancing cold front nearing our region from the west. Ahead of the front, the temperature is still quite warm across the region today, but clouds are beginning to move in from the west, and so areas that have sunshine will tend to see the clouds taking over as we head through the afternoon and into the evening. Some showers and a couple of thunderstorms will become possible over western New York and western Pennsylvania as we head through the afternoon, later in the day or toward evening farther east. And as we head through the night tonight, that cold front will move on to the east. That will allow cooler temperatures to return to the area. Tomorrow, a much cooler day than today, and over the last couple days for that matter. Some sunshine in some spots, but some clouds coming through as well. Even colder tomorrow night and Wednesday as an upper level low comes across the area. That may mean some snow shower activity in some areas during the day on Wednesday.
All right, Ken, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Lots going on this Monday, the 25th of April. Prayer on trial at the U.S. Supreme Court today. The justices are hearing the case of a high school football coach near Seattle. Joe Kennedy's been banned from coaching for more than 6 years after praying on the 50-yard line after games.
Multiple parents came forward and said, my student felt pressure to pray to play. My student felt pressure to pray to feel part of the team. My student felt so awkward when this was taking place.
Rachel Leisher with Americans United for Separation of Church and State. The coach is suing his old school, Bremerton High, claiming it violated his First Amendment rights.
We really worked together on trying to, you know, get through all of this without any impact to the team or anything else. And then they ended up terminating me just because I was praying by myself where people could see me.
Several of the coach's players joined him in the public prayer, but they say they were never coerced. They say it was strictly voluntary. The U.S. Supreme Court will rule on the prayer case in June. Secretary of State Blinken and Defense Secretary Austin made a surprise trip to Ukraine today. They met for 3 hours in Kyiv with President Zelensky. Correspondent Bradley Blackburn.
The two officials are the highest ranking Americans to visit since Russian forces invaded 2 months ago and bring with them news of additional military funding and renewed diplomatic relations.
Russian troops today bombed 5 train stations in Ukraine. Just hours after that high level visit, Ukraine retaliated by destroying Russian oil facilities. French President Macron is one a second term, defeating far-right challenger Marine Le Pen in a race that could have upended Europe. Correspondent Elaine Cobb.
Even as the two candidates celebrated he his victory, she her strong showing, there were protests in several parts of France against both of them. A reminder that for young French people in particular, neither will be given an easy ride in June.
That's when France holds parliamentary elections. 10 House Republicans, including Minority Leader McCarthy, on a fact-finding mission today at the U.S. southern border. They're in Eagle Pass, Texas, not far from where a 22-year-old border agent drowned while assisting 2 illegal immigrants who were struggling to cross the Rio Grande illegally. Those 2 were suspected drug smugglers. An historic space mission is over, the SpaceX capsule, with 4 paying customers. Now headed home from the International Space Station, it'll splash down later today off the coast of Florida. This was the first ever all-private crew to visit ISS.
The first private non-government crew to visit the space station carried out a full slate of scientific experiments and public outreach during their 17-day mission. That's not the usual fare for so-called space space tourist.
Space consultant Bill Harwood. It's 24 past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays, during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues impacting our public school families with the good Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute in Houghton, New York. Ralph, welcome back to the program, sir. Hope you got out there and enjoyed some of that 85-degree weather yesterday.
Hey, don't you love it? It's awesome.
It is awesome. And we have got so much to talk about today. We're going to try to do it in 5 minutes or less. Let's jump right in. We'll start with that Satan Club in York County, Pennsylvania. This after-school program the Board of Education rejected last week. What was your thoughts on that whole story?
Well, I think people should be aware of the fact that the Satan Club may be coming to your community. The group behind this is working in other states as well. And certainly in this case, the board, I think the vote was 8-1 against letting the club be formed.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the board policy, the board has the right to decide which groups are going to use the school buildings. The problem with that, however, is that under federal law, any school that gets federal money is actually subject to the Equal Access Law, which says that a district either is open, and by that I mean that any group can use their facility, or they're closed, which means nobody can use the school. So in this case, if they have other groups using the school, I think they're going to be faced with a long and expensive lawsuit over this decision.
Yeah, and I know the litigation is continuing there in York County, Pennsylvania. Let's go from Pennsylvania to Florida. The Education Department there says more than 40% of the math textbooks contain information about gender identity and critical race theory. So they've been thrown out. They've kind of cleaned house there in Florida. The governor has promised to do this. A lot of folks are wondering, Ralph, what does critical race theory have to do with math? Why would it be in there anyway?
Well, you know, that's a really good question if people are thinking about it. Usually when you think of math, you think of 2 + 2 is, 4.
It's been a few years, right?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, when you get into word problems, which are part of the math curriculum, then you have all kinds of examples that could be put into those word problems related to gender identity and critical race theory. And I, for one, I'm really glad that the government in Florida has taken a good look at that stuff and just throwing them out. And I have to say that this is the responsibility of the local Board of Education. They have the right to review every textbook that's used. And certainly this would be a heads up. Yeah. To people that are on boards or that are considering running for their board, that textbook certification is a great responsibility for the Board of Education.
All right, cleaning house there in Florida. We're going to talk more about school boards in a minute, but first, kind of a disturbing story out of Rochester, New York last week. There was a bus driver there accused, and of course, you're innocent until proven guilty, but this bus driver is accused of abusing a 13-year-old girl using a school van. We've talked so much on this program about the desperate need for bus drivers in districts all over New York and Pennsylvania. Because of that dearth of drivers, do you think districts may be hiring people they shouldn't be?
Well, I certainly hope that's not the case. And in this particular case in Rochester, this driver had actually worked for the district for 3 or 4 years. So not to say that they weren't desperate for drivers then, but not as desperate as they obviously are now. The district obviously did fire the driver, so we'll see what happens with that. But it's just pathetic that an adult would take advantage of a child like that.
Really scary stuff there for sure. And then I don't know if there's a link to this article on your website, Ralph, and we'll give that website in just a minute here. But, you know, you've been clamoring for Christians for several years to become more involved in public education, whether you homeschool, private school, whatever, get involved. And apparently the Reverend Franklin Graham has been listening to you, Ralph. It's about time somebody has. Tell us what he said recently about why this is so important that Christians get involved at the local school board level.
Yeah, well, actually, I was thrilled when I saw this. I'm just going to read it exactly as he said it. This is a direct quote from the Reverend Franklin Graham. "We need to get Christian men and women to run for school boards. I think the most important elected official is a school board member.
All right.
Amen.
Amen indeed. And maybe there's a link to that. I don't know. I'll let you give that website. But if folks want to know more about what the good reverend had to say about school boards, there's a wonderful website where you can go and learn more about what's all involved there. Ralph, if you would, sir, what is that?
Thank you, Bob. That website is simply whyrun.org, whyrun.org.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kerr. The name of the program, Issues in Education, comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. We're keeping our eyes on a very slowly advancing cold front nearing our region from the west. Ahead of the front, the temperature is still quite warm across the region today, but clouds are beginning to move in from the west, and so areas that have sunshine will tend to see the clouds taking over as we head through the afternoon and into the evening. Some showers and a couple of thunderstorms will become possible over western New York and western Pennsylvania as we head through the afternoon. Later in the day or toward evening, farther east. And as we head through the night tonight, that cold front will move on to the east. That will allow cooler temperatures to return to the area. Tomorrow, a much cooler day than today, and over the last couple days for that matter. Some sunshine in some spots, but some clouds coming through as well. Even colder tomorrow night and Wednesday as an upper level low comes across the area. That may mean some snow shower activity in some areas during the day on Wednesday.
So, in other words, take today's high and divide it by two. That's what we got on Wednesday. Finally at noon, need a job? There's an opening for those who have organizational skills and don't mind the penguins. Brian Querrey has our report.
A remote post office is hiring seasonal help, and if you're good at sorting mail, selling postage stamps, and counting penguins, this could be the job for you. Where is this job, you might ask? Antarctica. The post office is in Port Lockroy, a popular tourist destination just off the west side of this Antarctic peninsula. The historic site receives about 18,000 visitors each season and also has a museum and gift shop. There are some perks to the job: cold temperatures, no running water, and minimal communication with the outside world. So if those things are up your alley, then this job delivers. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
No, thanks, Brian. I'll pass. That's the world we live in. Monday, the 25th of April. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.